Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. You are joining us after a match where we have just watched 90 minutes of football brought to you by the most outstanding candidate that our leaders interviewed. We have, of course, lost 1-0 to Hull City. And I am joined by Mr. Michael Loff. Hello, Michael. Hi. How are we doing?
I'm looking forward to some very high performance podcasting.
Way unlike what we just saw there.
Because at Wise Men Say, we have an obsession with progression, so...
I'm actually a bit lost for words. I mean, first of all, I would like to... I'm not going to apologise to Sky, but Jesus, if you were watching that as neutral tonight... I mean, even as a fan, it's one of the most boring 90 minutes of football I think I've ever watched. That was... a masterclass in how to play sad, aggravating football from who I can now describe as a very sad, aggravating man that is Michael Beale. I just have no idea what the thought process was behind that. And, I mean, coming out of there, you can't think anything. And, I mean, we're barely 2 minutes into the pod and I'm already saying you can't think anything but... surely we have to be seeing the end of Beale here, because that was painful, and it's not a one-off. That is a build-up of just terrible. There's no word for it.
Yeah, I can already see the replies saying, "Oh well, it's ridiculous. He's only been here 5 minutes." And you know what? I do get that to an extent, because the rational self kicks in. You think, "Yeah, he has been here 5 minutes," but like I think I was saying to you at the bar before we came on air. When have we played well since Bales came in? I think I identified, like, Hull, it wasn't a classic away from home, but at least we were resilient, we defended well, and we scored a goal of a bit of quality from Clark. Preston, the first half, was quite good, and we saw the game out comfortably. But my God, other than that, it's been an absolutely appalling watch. I mean, I was down Rotherham just before New Year, and that was just turgid, bottom of the league. And I know Rotherham's got the odd good result against good teams, but we scored again, deflected long-range goal from Clark. There was no creativity. His subs are killing us every week. It's one of them things, like, I'm for giving managers time when I've got something to get behind and say, right, he deserves time for these reasons. But we're not playing well, we're not getting the results. And I'd go as far to say, if we want to save our season and show any ambition of getting into the playoffs, we need to be taking action now. And I think that action has got to be, we all know what the areas we need to improve in the transfer market, and we need to change a coach, we need to change direction, because... as I say, we sacked Tony Mowbray for not being good enough, and this guy, he's took us backwards already, and there's no sign of play I can even see to get behind. It's just, as I said, it's just such a bad game. Even if we'd equalised with a 94th minute equaliser, like, I don't think I'd have like come out the game feeling like happy or buzzed. It was just lethargic, it was pathetic, it was ponderous, it was stodgy.
It's so, so difficult. Like, and I get a lot of people will probably listen to this tomorrow, the day after, when you've had 24 hours to reflect. You can see some of the positives, because I'm not going to lie, Trihume, bar that one awful mistake he made, good game. The defence, like, were relatively solid tonight. Alex Pritchard, as always, has a great game. There are moments of stardust in our team, but the issue is, we have these fantastic players and we have a manager who is just quite simply not doing enough with them time and time again. And I know it's hard to say time and time again when he's been here not that long, but I was at Ipswich last week and it's just awful to watch what we know can be a great team suffering that way. I mean, let's go on to the substitutions, because I mean, you look at the subs he made at Ipswich last weekend, you look at the substitutes he's made tonight, and you just sat there thinking, what on earth are you watching? What are you thinking? Like, tonight, potentially a little bit better, but bringing Barr and Pembele on in the 80th minute, what's the logic behind that? Like, what? And they had a tiny bit of impact, but not the point when we're 1-0 down. You make those subs when it's still 0-0 and you can see the game's changing, which a good head coach, he's not our manager, he's a head coach, but a good head coach should be able to stand there and notice when the pattern of the game's changing, and that's not something he can do. And it's so frustrating to sit and watch that, to have like fans in the stadium singing, "You're getting sacked in the morning," after you've been here, what is it, less than a month? He has not been here a month, and he's got fans singing, "You're getting sacked in the morning."
I think it's what we on now, is it the 18th, or I don't know what date it is, but
it is the 19th of January.
So his first game was the 23rd of December. So in terms of like games, actually, he's took charge of, you're spot on. It's not even been a month.
To have a fan base and not even turn against you, because I don't think there is a point where he's had the fan base on side. He has not come in and even shown us a slight glimmer of something that we can get behind. I feel let down. That is how I'm feeling. And I mean, you're more positive than I am, because I have resigned myself to the fact that, okay, fine, I don't think we can get relegated this season. I mean, Chris with his maths will probably say mathematically it's possible. However, I don't think it's going to happen. But I don't see us getting promotion. I don't see us getting in the playoffs, especially not if we keep Michael Beale. And do we think that they're going to turn around and admit they've made a mistake? Do we think that they're going to turn around and be like, okay, fair play, this hasn't worked out? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't see that coming.
I'd have a lot more respect for them if they did that, but I don't think they will do it. And particularly because of the argument, like, oh, I know there won't be his players to bring in, but they say, oh, we haven't got any new blood into the squad and all this sort of things. And usually I can see that they're fair mitigations, but like I say, to earn time, you've got to show something. You know what I mean? You've got to show a coherent style of play. You've got to show like a bit of like positivity to get behind, something to make you think that if he remains at the club for the rest of the season, we've got a chance of at least getting into the playoffs. And I think what's more frustrating for me, and I think a lot of fans will feel this, I've not enjoyed coming to matches from about May 2022 right up until about like a month before Mowbray got sacked. I've not enjoyed going to football to watch Sunderland as much in years. Like, under Mowbray, like, obviously I know it went still towards the end, I don't want to be revisionist, right, but a lot of the time the players show bravery on the ball, they show like a willingness to attack, but he was like, as I say, so stodgy. And I don't doubt Beale, right, he might be a good coach, but that doesn't not mean you're good tactically. I have no doubt he can probably give an exemplary training session, but I don't care about that. In terms of, like you say, his substitutions kill us all the time. Like, tactically, I'm not sure what our game plan is.
And I don't think the players know that either.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stand here tonight and dig out the players. I know that there's some people who will say that it's on the players tonight. For me, it's not. I think that they don't know what the game plan is. I think they look lost out there. I mean, Dan Neil, that is potentially one of the worst games I've seen him have in a while. I think he had some moments, but it's not the Dan Neil we're used to seeing. And the issue is, I don't know where we go from here. That's the problem. I don't see a future here. I feel like I'm breaking up here. Like, I don't know where we move on, but do you know what I mean? There's no forward planning. There's no future here.
And I think the ownership will get a shock mind if they think that Sunderland supporters are going to be happy being mid-table mediocrity in the second tier of English football. Because people might say, sorry, I don't care. We are a club of a certain standing where we should be at least challenging for promotion from the Championship. Last season was different because obviously it was our first season back in the Championship, but we got in the playoffs. You know, we were probably like a couple of fit centre halves in the centre forward away from getting promoted. So to regress from there to the point we are now, It's like, and as well, I keep banging on about it, but you look at the transfers we've made in the last 12 months and they haven't developed the squad. Like, the squad is demonstrably weaker than last season. And actually now you're looking at Mowbray, and as I say, did go stale towards the end, but he's got more about the players even towards the end than what Bale's getting out of him right now. And if you are going to sack a manager with that popularity and bringing a coach like Michael Bale, who was unpopular to start with and he plays really bad football and the results aren't good, suddenly we're not going to be getting 40,000 through the door for an average league game. You know what I mean? Like, I bang on about this all the time again, but when I first started going to watch Sunderland regularly in the Championship under Mick McCarthy, we won the league and we averaged under 30,000. So people don't realize the crowds we are getting now are absolutely just like so far above and beyond what...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What we usually get at this level, and there's a cost of living crisis going on, it's really tough right now for a lot of people. People aren't going to come back through the door. And especially what goes on, you are in danger of losing supporters. But as I say, if they have any serious ambition about still trying to get promoted, they've got to do something to correct it.
Yeah, you're completely right. I mean, I think we do need to talk about the match a little bit, because
we don't still save the Gareth funded that we're really.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Pritchard had that chance, didn't he? Like in the first half, where.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it got deflected, but then obviously it was a goal kick, so maybe it didn't. Their goal took a deflection, didn't it?
It did.
I mean, you're at the opposite end from it, but like it just passed diving completely wrong way. I couldn't see it, but I think it took a deflection. It's one of those ones where you've got two teams who look like they're playing their final game of the season, where they're both safe. It's a bit of a kind of game of attrition, and one goal nicks it, and that is what we saw tonight.
You could argue that game just deserved to finish 0-0. It did. But I think now, the thing is, a few weeks ago, I remember we talked about games a few months ago, and we'd be saying, oh, if we'd taken our chances, he missed that chance. At least there was positivity, we were creating stuff. But now, I'm trying to like... You know, if you're editing like a highlights package and you're desperate to show like a highlight of your teams, you don't want to be saying there's bias. That's how I feel watching Sunderland right now.
Yeah.
I'm having to really think, oh, well, yeah, so he had a shot from 25 yards that the keeper made a good save.
Or like try
him
that one, but like.
Yeah, but we're not creating chances. The chances are just like kind of, it's falling to people on the edge of the area. And I know that's how football sometimes works, but go cast your mind back a couple of months and we were still carving teams open and we were missing gilt-edged chances and we're not even doing that now. And as I say, it's not a progression, and it's not even staying where we are, it's a regression. And that's that 2-6 from now. It's
Mowbray got sacked for less. Like if I mean, we can talk about kind of off the pitch stuff, etc. Why did Mowbray get sacked? But They gave the reason of he looked like he was in downward turn of form. He'd lost however many he'd lost, and Beale's now looking at a worse percentage than that. He's not bringing any positivity. We're saying we're not creating those chances. That does come down to the game plan.
Oh, yeah.
That comes down to the team talks he's given them at half time. That comes down to what they're planning in the week. And ultimately, we are not prepared to face these teams.
Yeah.
We're backing off them. We're sitting deep. We're not trying to press them. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
No,
it's just so frustrating. I'm trying not to get angry about it, because I will not let Michael Beale make me angry. I refuse to let that happen. But it's so annoying. I don't understand it. Like, I don't get it. Like,
yeah, I just feel, I'm not even at the angst, I just feel so flat, because unfortunately we don't have the famous skills of Richard Easterbrook to process things so quickly, so I'm struggling a little bit. But it's just, I don't know, you're looking around during that game at different points and you're just thinking like, because this is a very like Yadar point to me, right? But in the second half, Bale was sat in the dugout and Mike Dodge was on the touchline. given
the instructions. Beale sitting down.
It is just optics, right? And if we won, they did that, I wouldn't mention it, right? I do accept that, okay? So I'm not claiming that I'm unbiased, right? I do not like Michael Beale. I'm not claiming to be balanced or whatever you want to say. But
you don't come to the Wise Men Say podcast for balance all the time.
It's, but as I say, it just doesn't look like, to me, in the way Chutley plays under the bus, he's not taking ownership of what's going on right now. And that, for me, is a big red flag, because he did this at Rangers. He threw players under the bus continuously. When things went right, he was telling the world how brilliant it was. And when things went wrong, it was always a player's fault. And like I keep on saying, if you are going to sack Mowbray, fair enough, but you've got to bring him better. And even that interim period, let's not forget, I came out of that Leeds United game with the Mike Dodds feeling like on top of the world.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the disturbing thing, Mike Dodds, who was like a novice in terms of kind of like actual coaching like a team at this level, he put on a much more sophisticated game plan to beat Leeds, who are one of the best teams in this league. Against West Brom, we showed attacking intent. So Dodds showed in them two games that he can like set different game plans for different teams. So if a novice coach can do that, what is his excuse right now?
Yeah.
And he could already say, like you were saying before, oh, people need to remember like that I'm without four players. I don't hear excuses already, Michael.
They were without nine players tonight.
As I say, we beat West Brom away back in the last season with one fit centre half, I think, and like no strikers. We beat Luton, who they got promoted at home, and beat them in the playoff semi final with Gellard up front and no centre halves. It's like, as I say, I don't want to hear the excuses. And as I say, you need to do things to earn time. I know I'm maybe talking a bit circularly and I'm just a bit frustrated, but it's my performance on this podcast is probably as incoherent as that performance on the pitch.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, because we're both in a state of just utter, not apathy, but we are at a point of we don't know where we go next. I mean, you made some just like sensational points there. Why is Beale ever sitting down? He sat down during the Mags game, which angered me beyond belief. He sits down every match, sits back, and this is when we're 1-0 down. This is when we've got young lads on the pitch who need someone, even if he's just shouting on the sidelines to them, right, let's go. They need someone, and he's not doing that. Dodsy, when he was in charge, and I know we're taking a small section here, I know we're not looking at as long a period as Beale's been in charge. We are looking at a very kind of glimpse into what Dodsy could have been as a coach. I'm calling him Dodsy again, but what Dodsy could have been as a coach. But at this moment, I genuinely would probably have been happier if we just let Dodds in charge. I would have been richer because I put a bet on Dodsy to be our next coach, but I would have been a lot happier if he had been just left in charge at the end of the season. Because if your plans, well, not yours, but if their plans weren't promotion this season... it's all Michael's fault. No, if their plans weren't promotion this season, then what is the point in going out, bringing in Michael Beale, and not just sticking with Dodsy till the end of the season? What difference has this made? What difference has bringing this man to our club actually made, apart from just making us all kind of not want to go to the match?
And this, I think, is the last point I'm going to make, because, as I say, I'm kind of struggling to put my own thoughts together, to be fair. But, as I said before, the last 18 months, right, I've not enjoyed coming to watch Sunderland play win, lose, or draw. At last season, our home form wasn't great, and I didn't get them many away, right? But last season, I enjoyed watching the matches, I enjoyed going to the matches, win, lose, or draw. And this, a lot of people don't realise, right? I can only speak for myself, obviously, right? But I criticise because I fucking care so much. You know what I mean? I don't like complaining about my football club. It's something that Sunderland, throughout my life, is one thing that sometimes keeps me going, the thought of going to the match. You know what I mean? It's like that for a lot of people. And now if we're back to the stage where it's a chore to go to the match, it's not what we want. And like I say, I've really enjoyed the last 18 months of broad positivity. And like, whatever you think of what's going on behind the scenes, you wake up on Saturday, you think, get in match today. I'm not looking forward to Stoke at home next week. I'm just so thankful Alex Neil's not still their manager, because he could be bottom of the league with 3 points. The only 3 points would have been against us. They'd have 6 by the end of the game. It's sucking the life out of us at the minute. And I just really, something needs to change, because I can't just sit and watch my clubs finish 12th in the championship. Like, nah.
Do you know what? I can't build on that. I think that's where we have to leave it. I mean, it's there's nothing more we can say. We've probably gone round in circles, but that's the
point. That's what reaction pods are.
Exactly, and that's the point. We want to go and watch our team. We want to be excited to watch us play. We want to, even if it feels like a chore at times, be there to cheer the lads on. But when we have no idea what on earth we're watching on the pitch, that is incredibly difficult. And... yeah.
And as I say, when you've gone from that Leeds game, 6 weeks ago, whatever, you're coming out of the ground floating on air, thinking, right, this squad is showing what they're capable of. Get a good head coaching, we have a good end of the season. If we hope we miss out on the playoffs, fine, that can happen.
Yeah.
But at least give it a real good go and play attacking football and give us something to get excited about.
Be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, well, thanks for listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.